Welcome to Startup to Scale, a podcast by Food Bevy. I'm your host, Jordan Buckner. Join me as I talk to aspiring entrepreneurs, seasoned industry experts, and everyone in between as we unlock the keys to growing from startup to scale. The holidays are quickly approaching, and you've definitely seen the holiday-specific displays in store from Halloween, Thanksgiving, Hanukkah to Christmas. But should you participate in these in-store merchandising displays as an emerging brand? So I've invited on George Zephas to discuss how to build a holiday merchandising plan. George works with emerging brands at Trax and is answering these questions all the time. George, welcome.
Hello, Jordan. Nice to see you.
So I think one question with this going out in October, is it too late to plan for holiday merchandising? I know sometimes it gets planned a little earlier. Sometimes there can be last minute opportunities, but what does the timing usually look like in getting ready for these holiday displays?
Yeah, that's a very important question to start with. And in reality, the retailers and especially the larger players, like the large CPG companies out there, they have yearly promotional calendars and yearly calendars with activities. So in a way, this is happening many times a year in advance of planning. Also, the tactics can be decided a few months in advance, I would say 2 or 3 months in advance. However, as I always say, if you're an emerging brand, you're growing quick and you want to be opportunistic, you want to grab space, you want to go and grab new consumers. So always you're going to try something and see if it's going to work. Because at the end of the day, even if a small part of a last minute holiday activity works out, it's something that you learn for next year. So maybe if you don't go after grabbing a big chunk of sales, but a good learning can help you. So a pilot or a test could be very welcome in this type of period.
Yeah, I think that's really important. So, you know, for some of the larger retailers, there might have been deadlines passed, but especially for the smaller stores, and if you're just getting started, you have the opportunity to try it out. And along with that, you know, what do those seasonal merchandising opportunities really look like in stores? Is it really just like displays or shelf talkers? I know it's kind of all of the above, but have you seen some things that are like work better than others or that emerging brands should consider doing?
Yeah, that's so I'll say everything can start from the packaging. Many times you are a CPG company, you can launch a more holiday festive type of packaging that can lure your consumers. I'm not referring to a UPC change. I'm just referring for some additions on your existing packaging. That can come, of course, with some risks, because if the product is not going to move fast enough, you don't want to end up in January with a holiday package itself, right? And then you have to involve in another activity of pulling that out. So that's something that it's very specific and I would say intensive to invest. However, you can always do some POP materials, you know, self-stripe, blades, or coupons on the product or stickers that can do the following. Basically, ring the bell inside the consumer's head that your product can be combined for a holiday occasion or for a gift. So how do you connect these dots when you are a new emerging brand to a consumer that is not being used to utilizing your product during their holidays? So you want to connect the dots inside the consumer. So you can do that with different type of colors, with different type of packaging, with POP materials, with coupons, with IRCs, or if you get into the store and try to place your product next to other holiday staples. For example, you know, you're going next to the baking items because everybody's going to do baking this month. So you want to kind of position your product as a complementary to the holiday staple items that people can find in stores.
Yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense, especially because a lot of buying behavior changes during this time of the year, right? Around the holidays, if people are cooking more meals, if they're baking more. Halloween is around the corner and my wife and I were looking for healthier snacks. We actually weren't even looking for candy. We ended up buying things like trail mix, which might disappoint some of the kids, but it might make the parents a little happier, or even like, you know, like veggie straw types of things where it's like not candy, but things that can be, they actually like Halloween specific packaging to really appeal to that customer. So even things like salty snacks could be a way of getting it for Halloween or certain events.
And to that point, Jordan, I want to mention something that the so-called holiday campaign can start not from the consumer, but from the store personnel and that buyer in the store. Basically, you can explain someone that based on my website traffic, on the direct to consumers from the other years or from this year, I'm expecting that you're going to see consumers coming and buy my product for Halloween. You have to order more to have more in your store for that last minute rush or for that for the holy Halloween and Rusk. Many times the buyer in the store will not think about it. So you have to be proactively make that connection as well.
I love that. And especially for brands who are, you know, still getting started in retail or just have a couple hundred stores, it makes sense to test out things at a smaller level first at a couple stores, because it can get really expensive to see what your volume actually is when you are doing merchandising or promotion before really scaling that out.
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome. So, you know, what's really necessary then to support the rollout of things like displays and point of purchase materials? You know, should you rely on the retailers to do it? Is something that you should do it like yourself or with an outsourced team?
So just close your eyes and put yourselves in the back room of a store during these days, the Q4. It's going to be insane. So many packages, displays from all kinds of vendors, all kinds of CPGs, different categories, big things, small, like it's insane. So what happens most of the times is maybe 50% of them will get out there on the sales floor. It is difficult because the stores don't have enough labor to support that. And many times they have lost the email of saying, oh, you need to get out these shippers and put them there. Or you have to set up this display that way and in that category. So what we end up seeing is different scales of a problem. The first one is not getting done at all. Your display, your initiative is not getting done at all. Second is it's getting done, but not on time. So we might lose 1 week, 2 weeks of execution in many stores or in some stores. And the other degree that is not bad, but it can eventually, data shows that it can eventually be as equal bad as not being executed at all, is your display end up in the totally wrong area of the store, right? You're not going to get the eyes of the right consumer. So it's like being in the back room, basically. Okay, you make it out, but in a totally different area. So that is also problematic. So I think the execution obstacles can vary and can affect you a lot, and it could be different per store. You cannot predict how every different store will react to the campaign you're setting up.
You know, if you're in 10 stores as a founder, you could theoretically go to each one to make sure that's there. Sometimes you might have to go 2 or 3 times, right? If it's not there, maybe the display didn't arrive at the store at all.
And I recommend that, actually.
You have to like go back.
If you're a founder, I recommend you do that because you're going to learn. And I know founders, when they do these kind of campaigns, they're going to sit in the store for an hour and see how the consumers interact with this holiday display. It's a learning period. Don't forget that, right?
And then if you're in hundreds of stores, it's not really feasible to make it as a founder every single store during that time period because it's going to be limited. So how do you recommend founders think about like making sure that their product is showing up and on display? What kind of tools do they have available?
Yeah, so then you go back to what we have discussed before in this kind of episode. It's like you're going to need someone that you can trust, that can have a good supply chain to get the displays to the stores, and then a team that will be there to pull displays in an organized manner and place them out there in the store. And the, I would say, the icing on the cake is, just to use also kind of a holiday term, is to confirm the location. It's important because you want to review the impact of your holiday campaign. So knowing when the display was on the sales floor, what location, and exactly the SKUs and the count of units we had there is going to help you to start seeing what was the outcome of the campaign. So data at the end of the day is going to help you for future scale. Now, I understand that that could be problematic because that means you need speed. You know, you need to hit as many stores as possible in 1 or 2 weeks. Then you need to have someone that can navigate all this complexity about how the retail world works. Definitely, you know, tracks, we are huge on the surge. What we call this is the surge type of work that many times we do in Q4 and around other big holiday weekends and events across the year. And the flexibilizer, not all the stores will have issues. And then something that I want also to remind everybody is like the holidays, especially at the second part of Q4, takes part for about 4-6 weeks, if you think about it, right? It's an ongoing event. It's not really a one-off thing. So replenishment is very important. You don't want to make all this investment to get it out and then 2 weeks later to be gone.
Yeah. Right? Like, because even if you have a nice display that works well, if it sells out, then you have an empty display and the store's not going to want an empty display. And maybe they didn't order your product or something, so they put it in the back room and then they forget about it.
Yeah. Replenishment is very important. Seriously. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I mean, what other mistakes do you see happening during that time? Or are there any other problems like that that founders should keep an eye out for?
Yeah. So I'm thinking always about cannibalization. So you have to be careful of, you don't want really to drive consumers from your home location to a display, because most likely the home location could hold a different assortment. So you want always to make sure that somehow you provide the consumer a steady presence of your product at your secondary placement and at their main location. I think that's number one. Number two is we always need to remember that the definition says secondary locations provide incremental sales, but you need to be able somehow to measure that. What I mean with that is you're going to get more sales just because it's the holidays. If you have an item that makes sense for the period of time, it doesn't mean that your display was executed. It might be driven by the home location. So you have to wear always your entrepreneur hat and start evaluating what actions worked, what didn't, and what you're going to do better in the future. So data, I think, is very important. Don't just go and do a blast and, we saw a lift of 30%. That's great. Let's do it again, because maybe it wasn't driven because of the secondary display, or maybe you can drive more because it was executed only 20% of stores and you're measuring only the impact in 20% of stores and not the entire chain that you were hoping to get.
Yeah, I think those are great. You know, that just reminds me as well, as even just getting the display, if you're doing like an out of aisle display, just getting that to the stores, it's whole logistical thing, right? Because sometimes you can set up a display plus products with your distributor to deliver all those to the stores for you. But then there's like a new item setup process that you have to go through. You have to make sure that that gets to the distributor.
Yeah.
And it's categorized correctly, that the buyers know to place an order for that SKU different from their regular one. And so all that needs to be thought of and communicated in advance. And then stores, you could probably do it directly to the store, but then that gets, you know, you need some type of relationship with them so it doesn't just show up if you UPS it there.
And Jordan, you know what I have seen that is, to me, it gets bad for the brand, is you send them some zippers with product, right? They're already pre-filled and the zipper never goes out to the sales floor and acts as a replenishment for the main aisle. Mm. So you have a zipper there, you think that it's going to get out there in the floor. Well, what you end up doing, the store is not ordering new product. They're just getting the product from the zipper in the back room and just put it at the shelf.
Yeah.
That's what I say. Things like, you think things are working, but they actually don't.
Right. You know, that's one thing that it was a huge eye opener for me when I was running my CPG brand, that is I call it the unfortunate reality, is that a lot of the pressure on your success just completely relies on the brand, right? Everywhere from managing the distributors to working with retailers to organizing the merchandisers, doing all the marketing, right? Like, as the brand owner or the mm-hmm. brand manager, you have to be the conductor, making sure all these pieces are moving in sync, and can't rely on anyone just to do it without you, right? Like, hopefully people are doing their jobs, but things get missed. And when things get missed, you're the one that pays for it. And so you have to be the one orchestrating it all through the entire process until the customer buys it, and sometimes after.
And another area of investment for the holidays that I want also to bring up is demos, in-store demonstration during the holidays, because people are spontaneous during the holidays when they go into the stores and they want to go, you know, to a friend's house, or they want to buy something for their own event, and they will try new things, but give them the opportunity for trial. So demos can work very well when you are demoing your product in a store, and don't hesitate to go and get partnerships with complementary brands that you can together have a very nice, you know, table and demonstrate a kind of a combination of the two products. Is definitely helping doing something like that. It's a good idea.
I love that idea, because then you can even do semi-bundling, right? And you say, hey, buy both of these products together. And
for that, yes.
And then if you have the right, you know, the demo system set up, maybe the demo person can even bring a shipper for the demo or display that's there. And maybe if they, you know, they can talk to the store and say, hey, can we leave this set up, right? So they can kind of do the setting up, the demo, and then maybe it can remain in the store for a certain retailer.
We do a lot of that matching, to be honest. We have our partners, they come to us and say, guys, you know, we're doing these demos, but we're looking for a brand in the chocolate space. Do you have any partners? Say, yep, let us do the matchmaking here. And we just bring someone for them that would be interesting. It's very cool having like two nice brands working together doing demos. And it's an investment, but I think for the holidays, it works. Like, people are ready to try things.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Think about it as a new product discovery time, especially when you have the legacy brands doing this type of matching because their portfolios are so big. They with internally, they have their own matching of different products. But a lot of consumers are saying, what's the better for you version of these holiday staples? And if you have something that's 100%. Comparable, right, then that's a good match. Yes. Like, oh, this is perfect.
That's exactly what's happening. Yes. Very, very good thinking. Yep.
I love that. And then, you know, thinking about on the other side, how you mentioned this a little bit earlier, but do you see brands overshooting with this pair in terms of doing maybe buying too many displays or too many custom packaging designs that don't sell and then have to liquidate product at the end or hold off on it? See that happening?
Honestly, I don't see that part. And because retailers are also very strict, there are many retailers right now that are being very strict about, I don't want zippers. If you want, you have to be in the end cap. So they don't give you a lot of flexibility. However, what I see brands stretching a lot, and that's why it's also like this, the subject of today's discussion is the last minute. There is a situation that you are beyond that point that you can save, you know, the day and launch something. So many times we're going to advise and say, it's not going to happen. In 1 week, in 2 weeks, you can make it. Yes, if you have 3-4 weeks, you can try to do something. But when you come like the week before Thanksgiving, there is no way you can do anything. And if someone tells you, okay, you know, you can go and grab some space, it's not going to happen. So I have seen brands trying to stretch on the last.
Yeah, I mean, and that brings up another thing that I've been talking with a lot of brands about recently as well is when you're building a brand, it can be done, but rarely that it happens in the 2 or 3 years. When you're building a business, building a brand, it can take 5, 10, 15, 20 years to really get a strong brand presence. And on one hand, that seems like a really long time. But on the other hand, it also relieves you a lot of the pressure where if you can say, hey, this is a long-term thing. If I miss this holiday season or do something smaller now, maybe it gives me all the preparation so I can be ready for next year. If I do all the design work for shippers and maybe we just test them in 100 stores, then next year I can evaluate the performance and then roll that out further or make adjustment on that smaller scale.
I'm always all in about testing and being scrappy. You can try that. Like, you don't need to build a zipper. You can go to a store with a great coupon and a great product that makes sense for the holidays, and then give you a tiny little self next to the cassier or at an end cap, and still they're going to help you move some product, and it's going to be great. So definitely go in and test and try things. Just as you said, going and build a zipper is going to be a big investment. You don't want to rush the development of building a zipper that's branded with a whole, it adds up, you know, it's a lot of money.
Yeah. And then that way, you know, both for yourself and for other retailers, how it performs, right? If you see, do all this work and you only see a 10% lift during that period, maybe it's worth it, maybe it's not. But maybe you go and you do a couple of these and you see a 300% lift, and you're like, oh, wow, like that's a big boom. And you can take that story to other retailers in advance next year and say, hey, look, we saw this performance and this is why we should see, you know, you want us to be off, you know, out of aisle and get all these other placements.
Yeah. And that's why I think, you know, demos maybe is a better way for a short-term last minute thing to do.
Yeah. I love that. And I think demo, those are key because as you mentioned, people are looking for new things and there's lots of stuff going on in the store. And so they're one open to new things, but also they might get lost unless someone's pulling them over and saying like, hey, would love for you to try this. So
that's right.
George, thank you so much for joining today and talking about everything seasonal merchandising. If anyone needs help in doing this, reach out. Happy to give you any tips and suggestions. If you need help getting boots on the ground, happy to introduce you to George and the Trax team to be able to make sure your product displays are showing up in store and selling through so that you can see the holiday lift that's going to bring in new customers and move your brand forward. So thanks so much, George, for joining us.
Thank you, Jordan. It's always a pleasure like having discussions with you. And I hope I'll see all our friends and brands in the stores in these holidays. I'm going to walk different stores and just go and check out new products as well.
I love it. Thanks.